This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37. Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're going to be moving on to our next story, which is about the protests in the US following George Floyd's death in police custody. So you've probably seen the videos of Derek Chauvin, a former Minneapolis police officer who put his knee on George Floyd's neck as he was arrested for allegedly buying cigarettes with a fake $20 bill, and that ended up killing him. So on the surface, what happened was murder. In fact, the police department charged Derek with third-degree murder and manslaughter and fired all four officers involved. But the story is a little bit more involved than that, I think, and you also need to look at the entire system or the scaffolding supporting it, because it does also come down to racism, white officers unjustly killing a black man without due process. And this isn't the first time that this has happened in the US, of course. It isn't even the first time that it's happened this year. Police violence against African Americans goes back to the civil rights movement. But it's now gotten to a point where black Americans are 2.5 times more likely than white Americans to be killed by police officers. And that is whether they're shot in broad daylight or dying in police custody. And according to the Washington Post, there have been 1,252 African Americans who have faced either of those scenarios since 2015. So far, protests about this have gone on for 6 days in more than 40 cities. Some have turned violent as people loot shops and set cars on fire. And in response to that, President Donald Trump has deployed the National Guard in 15 states. And while some police officers have used excessive force on protesters and even journalists, others have shown solidarity by kneeling on the ground with them. And other people around the world have also joined in with their own protests with familiar chants like Black Lives Matter. And I think that if you were anywhere over the weekend, whether or not you were watching the news on television, whether or not you were just spending time on social media, it was a very overwhelming piece of news. It was everywhere. And there is growing conversation in the United States around really, I guess, trying to deal with this issue in some sort of way that has more systemic function, that is a bit more permanent. This idea of ending police brutality, and with that comes all these other issues of defunding the police and so on. There's also been conversations about how looting and rioting is being framed and, you know, who is blamed for that. And it is a very, very complex discussion. And it's one that I think many countries are seeing echoed in their own politics. Because when we talk about the protests that have gone around the world, of course, they are done in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement and done in solidarity with George Floyd and his family. But I think that it also taps into this idea that some of the themes here, the idea of systemic racism, the idea of police brutality, they're quite universal. And they're things that are echoed to people in very specific ways in their own country. So we're going to be diving into this issue and also talking about how this has triggered responses from the administration, how it's affecting the way people view America. And with us is going to be Bu Nagara, International Affairs Specialist. But I'd love to hear from you on this. I mean, how did you feel looking at the protests and, you know, understanding this story? How do you feel about what's going on in the United States? Is it affecting the way you view them? You can call us and let us know, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:44 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about the state of affairs in the United States, what's going on, especially with the protests related to the death of George Floyd. If you have any thoughts, if you've been following the story and you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Bu Nagara, International Affairs Specialist. Bu, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Welcome.
So now, before George Floyd, there were other cases this year. I mean, and that includes Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. And while not all of them are related to the police, we are also seeing this issue of, you know, violence against African Americans. How is that feeding what's happening now and the sentiment on the ground among protesters?
Well, obviously, the problems are wide, broad, and deep, and people do not see any resolution of it. And it's not a new thing. It's been around in the U.S. for years, in fact, decades. The feeling that ethnic minorities and blacks in particular have been targeted and treated unfairly, even under the law and even by the law enforcement officers themselves. So the recent cases have come in the kind of a rather quick succession, and people do not see any of the issues really being resolved substantively.
And as you mentioned, this isn't the first time that these are not new issues, and this is not the first time even that protests have happened. But the level of engagement this time is a lot higher. I mean, we're seeing former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton weighing in. Social media is just alight. We're seeing protests worldwide. Why do you think this has touched such a nerve?
Well, because, as I said, they have come in rather quick succession, and also quite a number of them have actually involved police officers, not just in the case of George Floyd, but also in the case of Breonna Taylor that you mentioned, and also the other case of Mr. Ahmaud Arbery. In fact, one of the two suspects, the father and son suspects in the case of the shooting of Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, the father himself was a former police officer.
Mm.
Now, in the case of Breonna Taylor, she was shot at home in her bed in the middle of the night by police officers who shot apparently blindly into the window. It also relates to the kind of legal system that you have now in the U.S. Because in the case of Breonna Taylor, apparently the police applied for what is known as a so-called no-knock warrant from a judge, meaning that that kind of warrant to raid a house would come without warning at any time, in this case, the middle of the night. And when the police officers arrive, they do not even need to identify themselves as police. So according to the police in that case, they were first shot at by Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, who had a gun, and he had a license to carry the gun. But he says that the police barged in without identifying themselves in the middle of the night, and he thought he was protecting themselves and her, as well as her mother. So in that case, I think there are a lot of gray areas. And so I think because of these, seeming irregularities, people are enraged, and they do not see any, substantive or long-term solution so far.
So has there been any attempt at all from government, either on the federal or state level, to address this through legislation and reforms?
Well, there's been a lot of talk by everybody that, things have to be done properly and also in a kind of definitive way. But people do not see that happening. And whatever has happened is also regarded as too little too late. For example, in the case of Breonna Taylor, the police chief at the time in the city said, from now on, the no search or no knock warrant would need to be approved first by a senior police officer before the police force could apply for it from a judge. Then that was seen as inadequate. And then he as the police chief in the town, said that this kind of a no-knock warrant would be suspended for a while. So people do not feel satisfied that the real issues have not been addressed so far.
Now, part of the calls from protesters includes defunding the police. Could you explain maybe the role of the police within the American political and social ecosystem? Because I think it is quite particular.
Well, I think it's still very much like in many countries. I mean, the police are armed and trained, and they're supposed to enforce the law. It's just that when they overstep the boundaries, or when in cases where discretion is used, it is seen as being used wrongly, or having overstepped those boundaries, then things become very controversial, especially when innocent and unarmed people are killed in the process. And the police are supposed to be protecting the public. People among the public are being killed. And this is seen as something that is intolerable, cannot be accepted. Regardless of individual people's political leanings, I think across the board, this is seen as something that's distasteful and disgusting.
And with that said, as you mentioned earlier also, there has been a difficulty in terms of trying to address it in a real systemic way. Do you think this time we're going to see any change?
Well, I think the problems have been there for decades, as I mentioned earlier, and you know, things have not actually improved. So I think there are great doubts among many people that anything would get substantively done, especially when so far the response from the Trump administration is not to even acknowledge in any serious way the systemic problems, but rather to use combative language in a way, if not outright denial, then at least to paper over the cracks. And so that explains the kinds of widespread rioting that's going on because of the deep dissatisfaction among many people and not just, you know, non-white sectors of the population.
And to take a step back, why are racism and police brutality so intertwined in the U.S.? I think we've reiterated this throughout our chat, this idea that this isn't new.
Well, you see, the police, along with the military in any country, are generally referred to as the repressive apparatus of state. That means they are armed and trained to put down people and groups. You know, officially, this is supposed to be a legitimate function in upholding law and order. The military, of course, is used for overseas operations, and the American people do not really see the effect of that because it affects other countries. So people in other countries, including civilians, get killed quite often in many foreign interventions by the U.S., but it doesn't really register within the U.S. Homeland itself. But when the police, overstep those boundaries or are seen to do so, then, of course, the people at home in the U.S. Feel that. And it is being felt now very profoundly. So, you know, it is... this kind of situation where then the police, as I said, are supposed to protect people and they are the ones who are, you know, meeting this kind of violence that kills innocent people. That is the worry. Because if people cannot expect protection from the police, then who are they going to get that protection from? I mean, the general tendency is to form vigilante groups. But then under the law, that's seen as illegal as well. So, people are caught in a bind there. And, you know, when the law enforcers themselves are apparently, violating the law, that is deeply troubling.
And looting and violence on the part of protesters seems to be more of an issue than in previous years and also seems to be heavily centralized in the media. What's your take on this?
Well, I'm not sure whether, you know, the looting aspects, for example, are any worse than in previous writing, because it all depends very much on media reporting and the focus of news, especially TV news with the pictures. I don't know of anyone who's actually done a comparative study, for example, of the degree of looting, between different kinds of riots and in different time periods. I mean, there is a degree of looting and rioting, but on the whole, it has been said that the protests in the U.S. against racism and the violent police brutality and so on the whole, they are peaceful. And I think we have to remember that because what attracts news, is sensationalism and so on very often. And that is when, you know, things turn violent. So what we see as the looting and the violent mob actions on the streets among the protesters could well be just a minority of it. It's just that, you know, it's perhaps overrepresented in the media reporting.
You touched earlier on the Trump's administration reaction to the situation thus far. How do you see this impacting the image of the U.S. abroad, both the reaction as well as what's actually happening on the ground and what's being reported worldwide?
Well, obviously, it's giving the U.S. a very negative reputation. First of all, it is a big country, so its reach in terms of media impact and so on is disproportionate compared to other countries because it is such a big country with influence around the world. And this is not in any way a positive image that is for the country. Secondly, when the U.S. Professes to other countries that it is a land of law and order and peace and democracy and so on. And this is seen as contrary to that. again, the impact on other countries would be a negative one for the U.S. So in at least two major ways, we find that it works very much against the U.S. And the country really needs to address its own domestic issues before it goes, you know, overseas to try to interfere or intervene in other countries' issues. Because right at home, you've got very serious problems in society which are not addressed and are not getting any better for years and for decades.
And among the electorate, how do you see this impacting the U.S. presidential elections in November?
Well, that remains to be seen because the way that President Trump himself has responded does not seem to reflect very positively for him, because his comments so far tend to be inflammatory to many people. You know, for example, in the case of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, these are taken place in the southern states, you know, in Kentucky and Georgia, you know, the states with a history of not just racism, but slavery, black slavery. And when Donald Trump recently came out with the comments that the protesters will meet with police dogs being set on them, this is a throwback to the days of slavery when the police used dogs against, you know, black people, and even the days of the black civil rights movement several decades ago. Racism officially, and also, you know, the kind of state violence being perpetrated against the blacks in particular.
And finally, Boon, where do you see this going?
Well, it's hard to be optimistic because there are serious problems, as I mentioned, and we still, you know, I think everyone around the world would like to see a peaceful resolution in real terms that go a long way, that are meaningful and acceptable to everybody in the U.S. But given the history until today, and given what's been said in recent days and the little that's been done, it's difficult to be optimistic. You know, people can hope for the best. And, you know, I think it's not going to get any better. The kinds of lack of positive response seen from, you know, the protesters and the population in general, from the authorities, you know, it's not a positive one. In response, the authorities have responded with even greater force. And that, again, provokes further demonstrations, including the violent type. And, you know, it's a kind of a mutual reinforcing situation that is going in a downward spiral. So although there is or should be room for optimism, there is actually greater prospect for pessimism right now.
Boon, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was Boon Nagara, International Affairs Specialist, talking about what's going on in the United States, especially in light of the protests following the death of George Floyd. We've been asking you for your thoughts. You can, of course, send them through. Call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Have you been following this news story, and what are your thoughts? So we do have this from Vicky, who says, looting is opportunism. It's nothing to do with anti-racism. And I think, as Boon alluded to earlier, this idea of looting or what's happening is a difficult one to truly have a clear picture on, simply because you don't know who's actually doing the looting. And in the largest amount of cases, it's uncertain who's actually doing it. There are agitators, there are people who might not necessarily be a part of the movement. And I think that also speaks to the fact that whenever it comes to protests and things of that nature, there is no perfect way of doing it. And there is no perfect sort of hive mind where everybody is going to behave in an ideal fashion. So unfortunately, we are seeing elements of violence, but it's really difficult to say who's actually perpetrating that. We also have Jessica talking about, I assume, President Donald Trump saying that their administration were very happy when such protests were happening in Hong Kong, calling them heroes and freedom fighters. And it's interesting that you say that, Jessica, simply because it's been a shift in tone as well from the Trump administration to do with Hong Kong as part of the ongoing U.S.-China trade war. I think Hong Kong is actually at this moment paying quite a price for that. So yeah, keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.